Welcome to Tough Talk Christian Radio. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help take you to the next step in your relationship with Christ. Tough Talk Christian Radio is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
All right. Good morning, everyone. I hope that everyone is up bright and early this morning, tuning into the show. And if you're listening to it later in the day, well, we're just blessed that you've had the opportunity to meet my guest today, two gentlemen that are really, they're really cutting the path of leadership. I have found that by having both of these gentlemen on my show today, what I've learned just in preparing for the show. And so when it comes to leadership, there's a lot of different ways to explain leadership. For me, it's about leading by example. And I think you're going to find two men today that are doing just that, leading by example. And before we get into the show, I just want to get some housekeeping out of the way. Of course, you know that if you listen weekly, Tough Talk Christian Radio is part of the Tough Talk Radio Network. You can find out more about that by going to toughtalkradionetwork.com and seeing the different shows we have on the air. And if you're thinking about being a guest, well, hey, we'd love to have you and share what you're doing in your community with the Word and sharing what the Lord has brought to you. Also, if you're interested in doing your own radio show, we'd love to talk to you more about that as well. And you can email us at info@toughtalkradionetwork.com. Connect with us on Facebook by going to Tony Gambone or Tough Talk Radio Network. You can find us on Twitter, LinkedIn, all the social media sites. We love connecting with people. It's just a way of allowing others to tune in to the incredible things that God has people doing through our show. So, as I mentioned today, great lineup, as we always do, and we're talking about Christian leadership. Now, you know, I run a men's Bible study on Monday nights, and one of the things I talk about is being a leader has nothing to do with being in charge. And sometimes men get a look on their face with, like, confused. And one of the things I want to make sure that everyone understands is we're all leaders. But it has nothing to do with being in charge. It has everything to do with being recognized by the steps that you take to show your leadership, by leading by example, by being that person that is taking it to the next level. And I got to tell you, it's a very complicated level to get to, because the closer you get to it, the harder it becomes. The harder it becomes, the less we want to do it. So there's got to be a burning desire to be that person, as they say, to be on fire, right? If you look back in your life and you see the different things that have taken place in your life, you'll recognize that you're a leader of some sort. And it's up to you to really take that to the next level. But the hard part for me, anyway, was recognizing the ability to be a leader. What does it take? How does that come about? How do we recognize it? Is it for everyone? Is it just chosen people? Well, I kind of believe that this is just my own unprofessional opinion. I think that God has created us all to be leaders, if we're willing to take the responsibility of being a leader. And when I say responsibility, it comes with a full package of stuff. And, you know, we all have too much stuff in our life now. So you have to be willing to get rid of some of the stuff that you're carrying around and put in place some things that will make you recognized as a leader, recognize what God wants you to do as a leader, and all the struggles that go with that as well. Because look, folks, this isn't something that's just, you know, smiles every day. Now, I can tell you, looking back down the path, I can really smile. And as I was speaking earlier today, God has a great sense of humor. It's up to us, though, to have a sense of humor, to recognize it, not take it personally, and to be able to go with it and understand it and live it and experience it and then share it. So there's a lot of stuff there. And I say the word stuff because I don't know if we could fit anything else into our busy schedule. I mean, after all, who would monitor your Facebook page? Or, you know, take care of Instagram. or Snapchat because we're so busy in our lives. But the fact of the matter is, it's your responsibility to become a leader in your house, in your community, in yourself, and as part of the community of Christ followers. It's important to show up every day doing the best you can with what you know and what you're trying to do. And just recognize one thing that takes me off the hook a lot of times is we weren't created perfect. So we're going to make mistakes. So don't fall into that party of pity. Understand it as an opportunity to learn and step forward and lead. Lead your way to helping others. So, hey, my name is Tony Gambone. I'm here on Tough Talk Christian Radio every Sunday from 7:30 to 8:30 Central Standard Time. Now, I know that's kind of early, especially for those out on the West Coast. But here it is, folks. I wanted to make sure to do it on a Sunday. I wanted to make sure it didn't interfere with church. I wanted to make sure it didn't interfere with time with my family. So I can tell you, at this time of the day, my whole family's still sleeping. Church is yet to come. And I get to do what I love to do, sharing the word. So I hope you'll tune in every week with us. And I hope that you'll stay tuned as we take a little commercial break and come back with my first guest, a gentleman here in the Houston area. Actually, both my guests are from Houston today. It's very unusual. But Jimenez Bailey is a gentleman that I met a few years back. And we're going to talk about that there when we come back. So I want you to make sure to stay tuned. And you know, you're going to hear about his new book, An Ordinary Man with an Extraordinary God. And also my second guest today is a gentleman from Houston called by the name of Doug Stringer, who, he's a president of an organization called Somebody Cares. So stay tuned. We'll be right back right after this very short commercial break.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
All right, welcome back to Tough Talk Christian Radio. My name is Tony Gambone. As I mentioned, my first guest today is a Houston native. I'm assuming he's from Houston originally, but we're going to find out more about Jimenez Bailey. And so what I want to do is welcome him to the show. Jimenez, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Tony. Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Now, I want to mention, you know, in your bio, you're a Christian speaker, an author, a servant leader. Okay. There's three titles right there that really, really bring a lot of question to me, and we're going to get to that because I'm sure that you are, well, knowing you, you challenge yourself. So we're going to talk about that in a second. But Jimenez, are you from Houston originally?
No, Tony, not originally. I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana. I was born in New Orleans many years ago, back in 1962. But my family relocated to Los Angeles. I was actually raised in Southern California, in Los Angeles. Probably when I was 8 years old, my family moved to California. So I'm original New Orleans born, but Southern California raised. And I've been in Houston for the past almost 7 years now.
Mm. So when I met you here in Houston was pretty close to the time that you had just gotten here. And if I remember correctly, I met you in the Galleria at a book signing a book opportunity for Tony Harris.
That's correct, my friend.
Yeah, I remember that, and I remember you and I having a long conversation, and we have continued that from time to time through social media as well. So you're a very busy guy, and we mentioned a Christian speaker, an author, and a servant leader, and we're going to talk about your book, An Ordinary Man for an Extraordinary God. But one of the things we started out with is a Christian speaker, an author, and a servant leader. That's a lot to be responsible for. Can you tell me a little bit how you – now, I know that people write up our bios and all that for the radio shows, but I know you a little bit better, and I know that you actually live these titles, for lack of better words. So take me down that journey. How did this all become where you became a Christian speaker and an author and then into a servant leader? Can you explain that definition?
Yes, Tony, and thank you so much for the opportunity to be on the show this morning. You know, when it comes to the title of Christian speaker, I'm very intentional and making sure that people know that I'm a Christian speaker, that I speak on Christ, that I speak on Christian topics, that I speak on Christian leadership and servant leadership. And the reason why that was important for me, Tony, I've been doing professional speaking for many years now, over 20 years now, but I spoke on workforce leadership and management and leadership styles and Six Sigma and things of that nature. Where I would just speak to corporate events and major Fortune 500 companies about leadership. And I remember, many, many years ago when God spoke to me and told me that we were going to be changing, he was going to be changing, that I was no longer going to be speaking about myself, but about speaking for him. I ran from it, Tony. I was like, God, I was very open and honest with God. We have that relationship. I was like, God, no one's going to pay me to talk about Jesus, We laughed about it today now, but I was serious. I'm like, God, I can't do this. I have this gift. I'm doing this. And I'm speaking, traveling all over the world, and no one's going to pay me now to talk about Christ, in leadership. And so going back and forth, and I ran from it. I struggled back and forth, he and I, as we do as men sometimes. We want to do it our way. But once I was able to trust him completely, and submit my life to him and say, Father, these gifts are your gifts. They're not my gifts. And that I'm going to trust you in everything. And with my teams back in those years were saying, well, Jimenez, we can't market you. We can't all of a sudden just change all of your marketing, and all of your branding, all of your material to reflect Christian leadership, which is going to do this massive change. But I said, well, no, I'm trusting God. And so in that, Tony, in trusting him, I needed to be very intentional about letting the world know that I speak on Christian leadership now, that I speak on servant leadership. So when you see a Christian speaker, it's very intentional. It was me saying, Father, I'm not ashamed to speak of the gifts that you've given me and what you've called me to do. So that's how, when you see my thing, everything from a bio step when it has a Christian speaker on it, because of me being intentional to let the world know that this is a topic that I speak on. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not hindered by it or afraid that God won't meet each and every one of my needs. And so that's how the title Christian speaker for me came up in my bio. It's very intentional. But it was me saying, God, I trust you completely with this gift and the calling that you've placed on my life.
Well, you said something that's kind of funny. I don't even know if it's funny, but the fact is when you feel that you're being called, especially, and I'm going to speak for men because I can get away with that.
Yes.
One of the things that we look at is how are we going to get paid for that? Not because that we need to get paid to be able to voice our feelings or information about stuff, but we're just trained that we're supposed to take care of our families and pay the bills. And so that always seems to come to mind first. So how do I get paid to do that? And there is no answer. So I have to assume that it was complete faith that brought you there. I want to talk about your background a little bit. I mean, you are a veteran in our armed forces, and I thank you for that. And you were, I believe, in Air Force. And so you've lived a life that allowed you to get into a place where you are a speaker and a trainer and a presenter to companies. So half of the battle was already there, was already beaten. You are already able to get in front of the room. But to shift it to God, because, sometimes we're told maybe that's not what we should be speaking about in public places, right? Especially if we're trying to make a living. So how hard was it for you to just maintain that faithfulness that God was going to bring you there?
Great. And that's a great question. It was very difficult, Tony. It was difficult in the natural because, again, when I made this shift for Christ and when I changed everything, my phone stopped ringing. You know, clients stopped returning my calls. It was something, as you say, it was kind of taboo back then. Even in some areas today, some people will still tell you that it's taboo to mention Christ and speak of Christ in the workplace or in a particular setting that you're speaking in. But I walked through it literally day by day. And the faith part that comes into play, because it truly is a step of faith and a walk of faith and trusting God completely, is that I believe, Tony, again, and I know you may have heard this statement before, when God gives you the vision, he'll give you the provision. And in that, you know, I truly mean each and every one of my needs was met. And every time I got to a place where I'm like, God, okay, you got this. You know what the needs are. You know what bills have to be paid. You know what has to be taken care of. Those things would be taken care of. I would get a phone call for a speaking engagement. Or someone would sow a seed into what I didn't know was a ministry back then, but someone would sow a seed into my business back then, and I would continue to go. Now, and it was a concept, Tony, and a thinking shift to where, again, I wasn't rich or thinking that I needed to be rich, but all of my needs were met, and I had a peace that I didn't have before, walking from down that financial path, so to speak, as well as making sure that there's a difference between having your needs met and wanting and needing something. And everything that I needed was taken care of. Everything that I needed to be able to provide for myself and for my family, God provided a way to, again, he would open a door and provide a venue for me to speak to. And it just continued to grow and grow over the years. And obviously through that time frame, you know, I had to humble myself. You know, I had to take some different work and some corporate jobs and some different speaking engagements and things to continue to, I believe, prepare myself to where God has me today. So it was a journey. It's, for me, actually still an ongoing journey because I have to humble myself every day to make sure that my focus is on him and not on myself.
Which is probably, for myself, anyway, was the hardest thing for me to recognize, was that it had nothing to do with me. I was just the mouthpiece. But, you know, sometimes it's easy to get caught there. I mean, it's just a hard, hard journey. So I want to talk about the book, An Extraordinary Man with an Extraordinary, with an Ordinary Man with an Extraordinary God. I apologize. How did that book come about? What made you decide to write it? And tell me what you got out of writing it.
Sure. Thank you very much. The book, again, the title is Ordinary Man with an Extraordinary God. And I believe God placed the book inside of me, oh gosh, probably about 8 or 9 years ago. And the title, he gave me the title, An Ordinary Man with an Extraordinary God, because it was me walking through a time in my life where I was living trying to meet the world's expectations of who I thought I should be as a man. And I believe we as men, we really struggle with this. We're trying to find our identity in our young years, and even some of us in our more mature years, about who we are in the world instead of who we are in Christ. And so I was living a life where I thought I needed to have, whether it was a certain degree or have a certain home or a certain car or make X amount of dollars and have on my bank account to really to be able to prove to the world and to society that I measured up and that I was this great man. But truly, through my journey, what I needed to learn and what I learned was that, you know, God wants to use us as we are. I could just be an ordinary man, and the success that I was able to achieve in the past and the success that I was going to have today and in the future was because I served an extraordinary God. And so that's where the title came from. But he gave me the book many years ago, and at the time, Tony, it was really interesting because I felt at the time when he gave me the book, I was just going through coming out of my second divorce. And I thought the book was going to be kind of one of those, woe is me, I'm going to share about my divorce and how bad my marriage was and the other person, and oh my God, I've got to write this book for men to help them not go through this situation, these circumstances. But that really wasn't the purpose of the book and what God was calling me to write it for. It took this long for me to birth it because he was continuing to prepare me. You know, I needed to be open and honest and transparent with God and myself. I needed to be able to look in the mirror and really just focus on me and my own growth and my own healing. And let God restore me and just own up to the things that I wasn't doing as a man of God, as a man walking in the world on a daily basis. So it's amazing when God gives us those things. Sometimes, you know, we're very impatient. We want it right now. And so the book, what I thought the book was supposed to be about, you know, many years ago when he gave it to me, transformed into something totally different that the book is today. But again, that's how it was birthed. It was really birthed, I thought it was going to be birthed out of pain, but really it's been birthed out of joy and healing and restoration and growth for men now.
Well, you're a very humble man, and I really I recognized that the first time I met you. That's what allowed me to want to keep, not allowed me, what encouraged me to keep speaking with you. You're just that type of personality. When you mentioned that you were writing the book so that you could kind of get out of you some of the struggles that you have gone through, thinking that it would help others, I gotta ask this question: is, you know, do you think that the book helped you more than anyone that has written a review on it?
You know what? That's a great question. You know, it's helped me. You know what, Tony? It helped me tremendously through the birthing process. When you get the book and when you read the book is divided in chapters, in certain segments of my life. It goes back to my childhood and my upbringing. I grew up in a divorced home. And the dynamics of growing up as a divorced family, but yet I was very unique because my father, even though my parents were divorced, was always very close. Dad always lived literally about 5 miles away. Wherever we moved, it seemed like Dad was right behind us, literally. So my parents were both still very actively involved in my life, my family's life. So it takes you through different chapters of my childhood, through my college years, through my young adulthood as far as entering the corporate world, my military time. But actually going through that process, brought some healing and restoration. Being able, I believe, Tony, being able to actually birth it out, for lack of a better term, to actually get it out. We as men and people in general, you know, we have things that we keep inside that we've dealt with for years or for most of our life. And in writing this book, it was not able to help me in the healing and the restoration piece of my life. But also, it gave me a very unique bonus to be able to say, okay, Father, this test, this testimony that I have in my life isn't for me, but it's for others. And so it really enabled me to put it in a format and a template, I use, so to speak, to be able to share with the world. It's written in a way where it's in a journal form as well, where you can take notes and you know, and really, you know, pray on some things and journal it, so to speak. But it helped me through the birthing process. And the reviews that I'm getting right now, I'm just really humbled by it because, again, I'm finding that it resonates with people on a human basis, on a transparent basis, to where, you know, people are saying, you know what, I've gone through the same thing, or it made me think of something in my life that I need to walk through with God's help.
Mm. So is there a chance that this could become a workbook for a small group study or a Bible study?
Oh, absolutely. It's written in that format where it can be used as a study guide. It can be used in a Bible study or a work group. Obviously, I mean, the title, An Ordinary Man from Extraordinary God, is really kind of the foundation of what God gave me in a vision. To, you know, every year, you know, we're planning on having, as we're working through this with God's help, a men's conference every year, which is called an Extraordinary Man Conference. And we'll talk about that a little later. But this is really just one of the foundations, the building blocks, so to speak, that God has given me to use this as a template for men to walk to their fullness for Christ.
Mm. Very good, very good. Now, you know, when I wrote my story in a book, I was kind of hesitant about being so transparent. I didn't know that I wanted to let everybody know the truth. And
yes.
I found out afterwards by being transparent. I mean, that's how, you know, men were wired that way, right? We're supposed to be strong,
yes.
No weakness, all that la-la stuff, right? And the thing of it is that what I found is by being transparent, I was able to connect with so many more people. Is that what you found when you wrote your book?
Oh, absolutely, Tony. It's been amazing. And in walking in that, not only for my readers, but for myself as well. And you're right, we as men, people in general, we're wired to kind of keep things in, to not to share our failures in life or our trials in life, because we look at it as a sense of shame. It's something that we need to be ashamed of, or we have a guilt complex around different things that we've failed on in life, or maybe mistakes that we've made. And, some of us have done some horrific things when we look back on our lives. Oh, my God, I don't believe I did that. And so I think we're wired to want to keep that within, not to share that with anyone, not to let anyone know, because we're afraid that we're going to be judged. And in doing this and being transparent, and what I found, and not only in my speaking career, but just in general, people are looking for us to be the light. And, you know, they want to see you as you are. They want to be able to feel like you're real and that they can touch you. And what I find, being transparent, it just brings a commonality. It just brings a purpose for each of us to say that we share something in common, that we're flesh, that we're not perfect, that we're human. And so in being transparent in this book and just sharing my life story, my testimony, you know, it's resonated with people because, again, they can see a piece of themselves in some way or something resonates in their life, you know, from a book that says, you know what, you know, that's, if God will do it for Jimenez, I know he'll do it for me as well. And I think when we share that testimony, when we share that transparency, it's not what I've been able to do on my own, but what I've been able to do with God, so what God has done for me and not myself.
Hmm. Yeah, it's almost hard to explain what God brings to you in these types of situations. That's why I'm always asking men to just write down some of the things that have happened in the last 6 months of their lives so they can start recognizing the blessings that are upon them.
Yes.
Cause we're busy, you know, we're busy. Right. So, it's hard to take a stop and take a look at that. And when you wrote your book and, you know, you do leadership training and you talk about customer service to big, big companies all around the world. And in order to be able to do that, you're not just a speaker that reads from a PowerPoint because you would put the audience to sleep. You're talking about real life situations, and if you're not being transparent, there is no connection there. So I have a question here from Facebook. They want to know is there another book coming?
You know what? There is. God has given me. It's amazing. After the first one's birth, you know, I had many people say this isn't just the first one, and it's just the beginning of what God is doing. There is a second book coming. I know He's already given me the second one now that the first one's been birthed, and the second one will be coming out. Probably it will be out in 2017. But this one is going to be a men's devotional. God gave me just a men's devotional that men can read every day. It'll be 365 pages, one for each day of the year. But this one will be an ongoing, a continuation of An Ordinary Man with an Extraordinary God. But it'll be in a devotional form, this next book. And then the ones coming after that, I know God already knows what they're. I'm just going to be obedient and hear from Him and write it all out as it comes to me. So, yeah, there will be a second book coming out in 2017 for sure.
Well, I'm be waiting for that. I'm reading a men's devotional that for the second year in a row. It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean it just you know, I post it out on Facebook every day just about, you know, the tough talk that matters and this stuff that I read really helps me through my day. It makes me more excited to get in my Bible. I hope that sounds correct, but it's what God places in front of me before I pick up my Bible. And what really blows me away is when it all connects from one book to the next.
Yes.
Book to the Bible. I mean, that's not a coincidence. That's the that's the Lord talking, you know. And so I have a question for you. When you do that in the morning and you get that, oh, wow, I can't believe it, opportunity that goes through your brain, you pray on it, you're happy, you're smiling. You know, maybe it's 8 o'clock in the morning, but come lunchtime, okay, the smile's gone, life has set in, and we're back to more flesh than the smile of what God put on us in the morning. What's something that you would tell somebody to do when they hit that point of their day?
You know what? That's a great question, Tom, because I deal with it myself, as you say, on a daily basis. You know, and that's one of the things we have to understand, even more so as we're walking this walk out, that, you know, no one in the Bible says that being a believer of the Christian walk is going to be an easy walk. And every day, you know, because, again, we're flesh, because we are imperfect, because we're human, we're going to face challenges. You know, the enemy's going to come against us sometimes or attempt to come against us in our thoughts and in our minds. And, you know, just the daily issues of life, stuff happens. And what I have to find myself doing, what I have learned to do is I need to be able to find that quiet place. And it could be in my car. It could just be in my office where I just need to close the door or just take a few minutes to just kind of breathe and just kind of hit the pause button for a minute and center myself and just go back to Christ. Those are the times where I just take a few moments and I pray internally or I'm praying in the spirit. And I think it's important even more so when you find yourself in that place, because it's going to happen. You know, again, your day, I ask God in the morning, I may have a schedule to ask, Father, how can I serve you today and what will you have me to do? And what I'm doing when I state that is I'm opening myself up to be led by Him. And in that, I believe when you open yourself to be led by Him, you know, things will happen. You know, he will present people to you. People will come into your circle of influence. Challenges will come your way because, again, I believe it's part of the test and part of the preparation that he's using to prepare you for something greater. But also it's an opportunity to let God's light shine for you in whatever that circumstance or whatever that situation is. And I believe you mentioned this earlier because people are always watching us. People are always watching you, whether you know it or not, in every aspect of your life, whether it's a phone conversation, it could be in an email, it could be on a social media post, it could be how you react or respond to a crisis or a challenge that may be happening right there at that time. And so I always look at it as, again, I need to just kind of pause for a minute, reflect, I go to God in prayer, I just throw a prayer up, I lift the prayer up, and maybe just pray in the spirit. But I do that to have God kind of center me again and bring my focus and my thoughts back to him and what I need to do or take care of at that time.
So you mentioned the Extraordinary Man's Conference coming in 2017. Can we talk about that so we might be able to get it on our calendar so we're prepared, or how people can get involved, or is there help needed?
Thank you. Yes, so much. I don't have a locked-in date right now. My team and I are still working on securing a date. But the theme of the conference, and really the conference really stems and flows from the book, An Ordinary Man with an Extraordinary God. It really is a theme or conference for men to be able to come and walk through this template, or at least learn the templates that God has given them to be successful men in life. And what that really is, Tony, is just, again, setting God and Christ as your foundation. You know, ultimately, I know you spoke on leadership earlier, and, you know, there's so many different things you can say about leadership. My journey through the book of An Ordinary Man from an Extraordinary God is shifting from, you know, living my life with the world's template and the world's view of leadership to Christ's view of leadership. And really what the conference is, it's enabled, going to be a name for men to enable to be able to make that shift to, and it can be difficult, Tony, again, when you're removing yourself from the world's way and what the world has taught you growing up and what the world says you should be as a leader and as a thinker and as a man, to what does Christ say and what does God say as far as how you're supposed to lead your life and live your life. Christ was the ultimate servant leader. So an Extraordinary Man Conference is really just using Christ's template or the Bible as the template to live your life as a strong Christian leader for the world. So that is the template for it. I mean, it will be more forthcoming information when people can go to my website in the future, JimenezBailey.com. Be on the lookout for it. It will be on all the social media platforms that we use, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or LinkedIn as well. But there will be more upcoming information for the men's conference a little later on as we open up 2017. But I'm excited about it. It will be my first conference that I'm hosting, putting together with some wonderful men and women of God. But it truly is a time for, I believe, it's going to be a movement that we're going to be doing on an annual basis, God has given me, to bring more men together to take their rightful place in the world and leading forward for Christ.
Well, just know, any help that we can be here with this opportunity, we'd love to be a part of helping you provide this for other men as well. So, Jimenez, you know, we run out of time here quickly on the show, but
sure.
I always try to ask everyone that comes through the show, in this year, 2016, we've had ups, downs, elections, craziness, news, lies. I mean, you know, that little box, now it's a flat screen,
yes.
It's full of it, right? And social media as well. What's the one thing, man, that's inside of you that you want to make sure that people pay attention to the rest of this year and starting next year to kind of make a difference?
Wow. Thank you, Tony. I would probably say the most important thing, and I'm using this as myself as well, that you stay focused, that you truly stay focused on the calling that God has placed on your life. Some of you may still have goals that you've written for 2016, things that God has placed in your heart to do, and you haven't been able to accomplish them yet. But I think we really need to stay focused. It's so easy to get distracted by the external, you know, what's going on, whether it's the election or just things that are happening in life in general, in the world itself. It's very easy to get distracted. It's very easy for the enemy to keep you off target or try to take you off of point off of the goal that God has placed in your life. So I would say right now at this time, even more so as we're winding up 2016, that you're intentional, that you're diligent in sitting down and being quiet, that you're writing those things down that God has placed in you, that you're putting a plan together, you know, for 2017 to be able to execute those things that God is calling you to do. I would probably say the most important thing is to be focused, be intentional about spending that time in these remaining weeks to put things in place, a solid template, you know, and that's being, I would say, being in prayer even more so first, you know, really seeking God in these seasons right now, these last few weeks. What is it that God wants you to do? You know, whether what team does God want you to work? What steps does God want you to take to be able to execute the plans that he's placed in your heart? Again, even with the election, election's over. You know, I believe that I was in Dallas on a business trip on a speaking engagement when the election unfolded. And you know what, Tony, I went to bed the night of the election. I could only watch about 2 minutes of the news, and I had to turn it off, and I went to sleep. And when I woke up in the morning, you know, I found out that, you know, President-elect Trump was going to be our next president. You know what, Tony, the sun still rose. You know, people were still walking about, going about life. You know, the world didn't end. And what that was a reminder of me for was that God is ultimately always in control. And so for those right now that are wrapping up 2016, be intentional. Stay focused about what God is calling you to do. Take that time, write the vision and make it plain, but be intentional about putting plans in place to be successful in 2017 for what God is calling you to do in your life.
Mm. Good stuff. Good stuff, Mr. Bailey. I surely appreciate your time this morning. I hope that everyone will go out. You know, if you go on Amazon, an ordinary man with an extraordinary God is available for you to purchase. When you purchase the book and you read the book, do us a favor. Go back on Amazon and write a review. This is really important. People look at books, they look at the reviews, and this will be your way of helping others gain opportunity through the book that Jimenez has written. And we really, really do appreciate your time today. And I, as I mentioned earlier, I really would love to help you with your new venture in 2017. So keep us posted. And please know that this platform is always available for you to come back and share with others what's going on.
Thank you so much, Tony. I appreciate it as well. And again, all the listeners on the call, they can find me on Facebook at Jimenez Bailey. You can go to my website, JimenezBailey.com. Please follow me on Facebook, follow me on LinkedIn, and Twitter as well. Again, there's always upcoming and exciting news about what God has placed in my heart to do for the future. But ultimately, I'm a servant leader. I just want to be able to serve you as best I can. And so, Tony, thank you again for the opportunity, my friend. You are a blessing in my life and to the world. I'm going to encourage our listeners to continue to listen to your show and your platform as well, because you are a tremendous blessing to the kingdom also, my friend.
Well, thank you. We really do appreciate your time, and you and I are going to have to get together for a cup of coffee here in Houston in the upcoming weeks. So have a blessed day, and keep doing what you do, man. Just keep being that leader. So we appreciate you today.
Thank you, Tony. God bless you, my friend. I'll see you soon.
Okay. Folks, we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back with my second guest, a gentleman by the name of Doug Stringer. And Doug is also a local guy here in Houston who is the president of Turning Point Ministries International, which birthed an international movement known as Somebody Cares. So make sure to stay tuned. We're going to be right back after this short break.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
All right, welcome back to Tough Talk Christian Radio. My name is Tony Gambone, and if you're tuning in late, you just missed an incredible interview with Jimenez Bailey. You can find out more about him by going to his website, JimenezBailey.com, JimenezBailey.com. You're going to want to get his book. It's An Ordinary Man with an Extraordinary God. Check it out on Amazon or buy it right off his website. But please, folks, if you get the book, and I recommend getting the book, write a review. This is a way that you can help Jimenez keep spreading the word so other people will take the opportunity to get the book as well. My second guest, as I mentioned, is a gentleman by the name of Doug Stringer. Now, unlike Jimenez, I have not met Doug yet. He is here in Houston. We have a mutual friend, someone who works in his organization that's a very good friend of mine, and that's how we have come upon meeting Doug. So without wasting any time, I want to bring Doug up and welcome him to the show. Doug, welcome to the show.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Well, you know, I mentioned someone that's close to both of us, Allison Gentry, who has made the connection and who has been speaking so much about Doug Stringer that I just can't wait to find out more information. So I got a ton of questions. What I'd like to do first is just let everyone know that I know you're calling in from Houston. Where are you from originally?
Well, I was actually born in Japan, and my dad was in the military. My mother was Japanese, and he was actually underwater demolition frogman, later became known as Navy SEALs, and he was from Houston. My stepfather was actually from Waco, also in the military, but I ended up in Houston in 1978, after my mom and dad went through divorce, and I was 21 years old, and I decided to come back and reconnect with my dad, and found him in Houston, and in that process ended up, my Heavenly Father found me, and in the process I led my dad, stepdad, my mom, and to the Lord, and began to walk in the ministries for the last 35 years.
Now, you've done some incredible stuff, okay? And I say stuff because there's a very, very, very long list of things that you have done over the years in the Christian community. So I don't even know where to start with that, Doug, but what I'd like to do is find out what got you in the community of Christians. I mean, did you go to church as a child? Is it something you found later in life? What got you there?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Growing up, every time there was a neighbor going to church, or if there was a bus coming into the neighborhood or a van, I just felt compelled to want to go. But I never really became discipled in the Lord. I just had this desire for God. But it took losing my best friend over a cocaine drug deal later in life, and living in sin and professing to be a Christian but not really serving the Lord. And I was running a fitness center here in town in Houston. And I went to my knees one day and said, God, I just can't take this anymore. And I felt the Lord speaking deeply with conviction in my heart that said, don't call me Lord, Lord anymore unless you're willing to live for me. And in a simple, honest prayer, I said, God, if you can do anything with someone like me, who has broken your heart and brought shame to your name, then I'm willing to make myself available to you the rest of my life and serve you. And literally, my paradigm began to change. I began to share, read the scriptures in a different way, began to share them every day in my exercise business. People began to come to Christ. And so every day after I closed my business, I'd had 50 to 250, 300 people would show up for Bible studies, prayer meetings. I led a whole dance company to the Lord and ended up leading musicians to the Lord and many others. And one day I woke up and I had 17 kids, runaways, gang members, at-risk youth, homeless people living in my apartment, and kind of started from there. I didn't realize I was going to be in the ministry. I just kept on doing the business for as long as I could. And then as time went on, I just found that God was using me to reach many, many people with the gospel and began to train churches and people from different churches to go out to the streets and to do ministry and evangelism. And that's how we got started 35 years ago and haven't turned back. And now we have a network of compassion coalitions around the world. We're in multiple cities in the U.S. and prayer initiatives, national and international prayer initiatives to compassion coalitions, disaster relief, and, of course, doing a lot of training and leadership awakening and empowering leaders to get back to the foundations that are unshakable, which is in the foundations of the Lord.
Mm. So, you know, you mentioned a lot of things there, but one of the questions that comes to mind to me is, in the beginning, and I'm sure it might still be happening now, but how did you get past the point where you felt like you were out of breath?
Well, you know, I realized for the right away, and I appreciated Jimenez too, because, you know, I've written books like Who's Your Daddy Now and In Search of a Father's Blessing. That was earlier this year. And I'm on the board of directors for Christian Men's Network International. Dr. Evan Lewis Cole, the founder of the Christian Men's Network, was a spiritual father. Leonard Ravenhill was one of my spiritual grandfathers in my life, so I had a lot of good influences. But I realized early on that everything I did had to be born out of the presence and the passion for God, lest I burn out. So I realized that everything had to be the non-negotiables of being in God's word, in prayer, in worship, recognizing everything I do has to be out of that passion for the Lord and compassion for souls. In fact, what I like Jimenez, the title of his book, Ordinary Men and Extraordinary God, you know, part of the Navy SEAL's ethos says that they are common men who do extraordinary things. And really, we as common men or common people in Christ Jesus can do supernatural things. And I really appreciated a lot of what he said, and as well as the title of his book. But for me, I really feel like it's about, it has to be born out of this non-negotiable place of relationship with God, because the kingdom of God is built on relationships, first with God, then with one another. You know, one of my friends, well, I had two friends on the space shuttle Columbia, Tony, Rick Husband, the commander, and Mike Evans, Mike Anderson. And when, of course, the tragedy of the shuttle. But one thing I realized what happened with them is that at the memorial services and many people that began to come to the services, many, many people said there was something about these two men that the lives they lived with the characteristics of God's kingdom ministered to them, even many who were not Christians, who were drawn to the characteristics of the kingdom of God in their lives. So I began to say that the lives we live before we enter the portals of eternity determine the influence we leave for the next generation and the influence that we have. And I really believe that every influence we have is determined on the level of relationships we have, first with God, then with others. In my book, Leadership Awakening, that just came out a few weeks ago, I talk about that from pulpits to political officers, from offices, from preachers to politicians and all in between, we need a revival of character. But that could only come when we're in the presence of a triune holy God. We get into his word and understand it's his lordship over our lives that does the work in us. And if we're building on any foundation other than the foundation of the Lord, it will not last.
Well, I got your book, and I got to tell you, last week I did a spot on the show just based off of, you know, when I get a lot of books from all the people I interview, and I never get a chance to read all of them, and I'm always skimming through them. And I got to be honest with you, Doug, you released the day of the interview. And for some reason, this book got to me, and I opened it up, and the page it came to was Back to the Basics. And it was something in my life taking place right then and there where I knew that I had to just put the brakes on and go back to the basics, because we seem to get so far ahead of ourselves, we forget the intention or what we were doing that got us there. So, first of all, thanks for that. Back to the Basics is, I did a lot of highlighting in your book. So I highly recommend that people go out and purchase Leadership Awakening. And I just can't even explain to you how exciting it is for me every day when I pick this book up and read a chapter. I love to provoke a thought, the little quotes that you have in there. Great book. Great, great book. Now, thanks. I know you've written 8 or 9, maybe 10 books. So when we talk about leadership, I think that a lot of men think that because they're leaders that they're in charge. Explain your definition of leadership.
Well, we have a saying that while men reach for thrones to build their own kingdoms, Jesus reached for a towel to wash men's feet. While men reach for pursue exalted and high places, the exalted one, Jesus, left his highest place to pursue men. I think we've got to get our focus back, even as you and Jimenez were talking about earlier, that it's important to keep our focus. And I really think that too many times we get enamored with celebrity, we get enamored with people, we believe our own height. But at the end of the day, I realized for me, God reminded me never to forget where I've come from. And he's put me before kings and from Muslim presidents to heads of state. And I sometimes have to pinch myself saying, God, what am I doing here? I'm an old street preacher who just got radically, you know, God, you touched me, saved me, put me out there to minister to people. I don't know what I'm doing here, but the Lord isn't looking for our abilities more than our availability and our willingness to represent him as ambassadors for Christ rather than representing our own personal agendas and purposes. And so it was really important for me to always keep my focus on him, fixing my eyes on him, and keeping my – there's four things I felt like the Lord said to me even this earlier this year, stay low. That's a place of humility. Secondly, draw near to stay close to his presence, because it's in his presence that things begin to happen. The third thing is to incline my ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is really saying. And for that to happen, I have to stay close to the Lord. And finally, that when God speaks, I need to move and obey quickly. And I think it's important for all of us as leaders to walk in a place of true humility, honesty with ourselves, walk in honor to God and people and appreciation of people. At the same time, walking in the beauty of holiness, which is the glory due his name. I'm not talking about some external kind of piety or religious kind of external expression, but I'm talking about the internal consecration of our heart that says, God, my life is not my own. It's a privilege to serve you. And so God has played, you know, even this book, Leadership Awakening, I was blown away that two governors, three university presidents, CEOs of corporations, professional athletes, you know, have all endorsed the book. I thought, well, God, there must have been something that is resonating with a lot of people right now for this revival of character to build on foundational principles for lasting success. And Tony, you hit something when you said, when you picked it up, and I think you're talking about the story when I talked about Vince Lombardi, the coach of the Green Bay Packers. When they were a losing team, he picked up a football and said, this is a football. We have to get back to the basics if we're going to succeed. And I had a Pulitzer Prize writer tell me when he picked up the book, he began to get teary-eyed. I had another syndicated national writer who wants to write an article about it in a national newspaper and said, Doug, I read a lot of books. I have to for all my writing that I do and the interviews I do. He goes, but when I picked it up, I couldn't put it down, and it really began to minister to me personally. So that's exactly what I want to see happen. It has to be born out of that place of not just a good idea, another principle of success, but really those foundational principles of lasting success that only come by building on the principles of God's kingdom.
I got to tell you, man, I'll bet that I said it at least 50 times in the last 2 weeks, back to the basics, because it's so easy to get full of ourselves, moving quickly. I mean, after all, who's going to look at social media for you? I mean, and what about Facebook? I mean, we're really busy people, right? But if we could just get back to the basics and remember who we are, why we're here, what we've gone through, what we want to do, and how we can get there, it's just really easy to complicate it. So I think that there needs to be a book called Back to the Basics. Because it's really helped me an awful lot, and I can't even thank you enough for that. I want to, because time goes quickly here, I know that you do a lot of things, and you've been doing this for 35 years, as you said. One of the things that Allison is always telling me is that you're in D.C. trying to make a difference. Can you touch on that at all?
Sure. Back in 2011, the governor of Texas at that time was Rick Perry, and the Lord just really spoke to him and some people around him that we needed to do a Joel 2 solemn assembly, and regardless of our political persuasions or denominations. And so I was approached by some friends from the American Renewal and Pastors and Pews and House of Prayer and others, say, would you help facilitate a gathering in Reliance Stadium and a one-day thing of prayer? I said, as long as there's no egos and logos, as long as we're not promoting a denomination or individual or a political party, but we're lifting up only Jesus, and only Jesus that day that we lifted his holy name up. And to our amazement, 50,000 people showed up that day. And subsequently, four other governors in 2015 said, we need solemn assemblies here for our state. So we did four others in 2015. And then 2 days prior to the RNC in Cleveland, because of all the tension, we felt like it was important to do one there. And we ended up having hundreds and hundreds of churches involved, thousands of people gathered together to pray for God's presence in that city. And to our amazement, there was no major crime that week. The peace of God was in that city. And so we began to go to Washington, D.C., and I began to speak at some gatherings at the Capitol. The Jefferson Gathering and others began to do on-site for insight prayer meetings and worship in the rotunda of the Capitol, meeting with different people there. And I was blessed to be invited by Dan Cummins, who actually got started up there because of 2011 at Reliance Stadium and volunteering for us, is now a Capitol pastor there in the Capitol building there. And so we began to go up there 2 weeks before the elections. and began to go into the Capitol building, praying with different people, praying and doing worship services in the middle of the rotunda in President Lincoln's parlor, and began to pray because I said there's like a spiritual civil war and the division in America. We need a healing for the soul of our nation. For that to happen, we need the church truly to cross racial, denominational, generational lines and meet at the cross. And then again, I went back up 3 days before the elections to the Senate Park right across from the Senate, and had open air worship times. I was a part of that and helped kick that off. And Jim Garlow from Skyline Church in California came the next day, and others. And so we were just realizing that the hope for our nation has to be the church centered in the Lord, putting aside our denominational, racial preferences, our personal political preferences. And we need to focus on the Lord and realize that in his presence, God will turn things in all of us. And so we did a lot of prayer initiatives there. And of course, we do a lot with international prayer initiatives as well. But we realize that prayer produces intimacy. So everything we do has to be born out of that place of communication with God in his presence that fuels us to not want to represent ourselves, but to go out and be a reflection of Christ. If you look at what happened in Charleston, South Carolina, in the shootings there, it was 4 days prior to that we hosted a gathering in the North Charleston Convention Center, which was a solemn assembly of prayer, and the governor of South Carolina was there, Governor Haley. And after the shootings and how the church rallied together, crossing racial denominational lines, worshiping together, standing together, it became a plumb line of healing and hope for the nation, and it began to reflect all across America of how the church came together, working together in a tragic situation. I remember getting a text message from the governor's pastor who said, "We really believe that the prayer gathering we had a few days ago that you guys were here with is what's giving us the precipice and the strength to be able to get through these difficult times." And really, we live in challenging times, but if the church would dig deep, work together, putting aside our differences for the sake of something bigger than ourselves, I think we could really see the healing of a nation. But the heart of the nation is the church, and how can we heal the soul of a nation if the heart of the nation is divided?
It's a very big chore to accomplish. Some people might say that you'll never be able to do it. I myself think that there's an opportunity as long as you're making that a possibility. So when people come to you and ask you to help them do these types of things. So, for instance, if someone in the area or in their local community needed your help, how would they go about that? Is that an opportunity that's available?
Absolutely. You know, we're actually in day 20 of 40 days of fasting that we did 20 years ago, and I called it Houston Prayer Mountain. I rented an amphitheater. We had 300 churches involved, and for 40 days, and we ended up having over 30,000 people showed up by word of mouth over that 40 days of corporate fasting, worship, and prayer for our city and for the nations. And there's many churches today who said that they are still the beneficiaries of what took place 20 years ago. Well, how much more as we begin to encourage and leverage others even today in their local communities? There's monthly gatherings in Houston. In fact, Houston at one time was called the prayer capital of North America because there's so many people intentionally crossing racial denominational lines to pray together. There's monthly gatherings in Houston right now at different churches where they get prayer leaders and pastors gather together once a month on Saturdays to pray, called I Pray on Campus. So there is some great initiatives happening locally, nationally, and around the world. In fact, earlier this year, we were invited to go to California, Bakersfield, to help facilitate something called Awake California, similar to these other meetings that we were doing, but we came to help serve them and leverage them. Or Washington, D.C., we did something on April the 9th, earlier in the year, where pastors came, Ann Graham Lutz, Billy Graham's daughter, came, and myself and others were part of this thing called United Cry, which was calling out as leaders and pastors and prayer leaders from all over the country came in Lincoln Memorial on freezing cold weather, but we stayed there all day to cry out to God on behalf of the nation. So there's many initiatives taking place, and what's happening, many of us are really cross-pollinating, working together from Billy Graham centers to Pray USA to National Day of Prayer NDP and many, many others, the Congressional Prayer Caucus. We're all working together very intentionally because we realize it's not about us being divided. It's about us being united in a common focus on the Lord and a common heart for our nation.
Now, Doug, I want to talk, because time goes quickly here on the show, but I want to talk about Somebody Cares. And people can find out more by going to somebodycares.org. But this is a local organization here in Houston. How can people plug into it, and how can they volunteer their time? Is that opportunities of that sort available?
Absolutely. We have a large Compassion Coalition network to be a tangible expression of Christ. And so working with orphans and Core Love or LoveBot in orphanages in Haiti to Colombia to working with rescuing those from the sex trafficking to doing disaster relief. Right now we're working with the fires of Tennessee and still following up with other crises and floods in Louisiana and North Carolina. So there's always a way to get plugged in. We have chapters and affiliates across this country and around the world that are connected to us. So there's always a way to get involved. It's just a tapping into what your passion is and letting us know. We'll get you connected. At the same time, we also become like a command center for people. If there's a need and they don't know how to meet that need, we try to find a church or a ministry that does that. And so we connect the need with the need givers.
Very good stuff. And I just want to make sure everybody knows to go to somebodycares.org. There's a lot of information here. There's a lot of ways to connect. You can make a donation if you need prayers. There's all types of opportunity here. Doug, I know that you just released this book, Leadership Awakening, and you've written, I don't know, 7 or 8 other books. When you decide to write a book, is it because someone says, Doug, you need to write this book, you need to make this a book, or is it a calling that just comes to you? How do you determine when it's time to write the next book?
Yeah, I think some things call us out. I don't consider myself a great writer or communicator, but out of a great need, and instead of just talking about, you know, here's a problem, I feel like God also gives us as a church answers and solutions if we bring everything through His Word and you know, His Word, character, nature, and spirit. And so a few years ago, I was asked to speak at some different denominations' national conventions, and I began to teach on leadership awakening, leadership, transformational leadership. And about 2.5 years ago, I was asked to go to Insperity headquarters here in Houston in Kingwood area. And for 2.5 days, I invested in business leaders, athletes, pastors, emerging leaders, and just poured into them things I felt like were important principles to be able to have lasting success and not just to end with the fizzle start with the bang, end with the fizzle. And out of that, this video series came out. And from that, people said, man, this needs to be in writing and curriculum in a book. And so the end of 2015, after I came out of battling stage 4 cancer, I just began to put this together, began to work on it, and began to go back and forth with it, many nights working on it, and just said, this is something, God, if you want this out, that we're going to keep working on this. And as a result, as I'm on the board of directors of a particular publisher, they said, Doug, this book really needs to get out. And so I just threw out some rough drafts of what I'd been working on to different people. And as I said earlier, to literally state governors, to university presidents and CEOs of major corporations said, this is a now message. Yeah. So I realized, well, there's something here. It wasn't just something I thought was a good idea. I think it was resonating across the world with many people. So as a result, on October 18th, it hit the bookstores, Amazon, Barnes & Noble's Christian bookstores as well. And so Leadership Awakening became a reality that came out of just that I saw a great need that needed to be presented. You know, 70% of Christian leaders, according to Robert Clinton at Fuller Theological Seminary, do not finish the race well. I want to see that percentage change. And for that to happen, we have to get back to the basics, as you were saying earlier, and to our foundational principles that guarantee lasting success. And so I'm praying that this book will hit its mark. In fact, I've been told that every member of Congress, they want to try to get a copy of the book to every member of Congress. I had one pastor in Tampa Bay ordered 120 copies to give out to different leaders in his city. I've had CEOs of companies that have ordered extra copies from Amazon and from bookstores to take it to give to their executives and their companies. So they thought, this is a now message. And I thought, wow, God, let it be so. And let us see it hit its mark and people's lives be changed.
Well, man, I just I'm in awe listening to you. I know that there's got to be times during your day where there's a smile inside of you that's hard to control. You know, I would think that you're going to have to stop often and say, thank you, Lord, because this is probably more than you ever wanted to bring on. And I think that it's an example that others can bring on greatness in their lives to help others as long as they're willing to take a chance at it. And a lot of times I think it is taking a chance at it, because this wasn't your plan from the beginning. But by trying to help others, this is where you've gotten to. Doug, we're wrapping up the interview here, and I always like to find out the one thing that you would like to tell people who might already answered this question, but for the year 2016, something that you learned that they can use in 2017.
Yeah, I think that one of the primary things I want to keep my focus on is that, you know, with all the division we see, even in our country over the political circus we saw and different things, remembering that the only unshakable thing is the kingdom of God. And so we are part of that unshakable kingdom. We need each other more than ever. We need to become part of something bigger than ourselves. And so one of the things I always want to remember is to keep my passion and focus for the Lord so that I can have his heart of compassion for hurting people and to be a tangible expression of Christ to those around me. And the only thing that will ever last is the things I build on him. And everything else will crumble. Everything else will implode. I really need to keep my passion for the Lord, and so I can have his heart of compassion to be a tangible expression to those around me.
Well, amen to that. And Doug, as we were having this interview, I sent out a couple of requests to people that are on the local market of radio and internet radio as well. They need to definitely connect with you and Jimenez, because leadership is really, really an important issue. And I'm being selfish here, ladies. I'm talking about men out there. They really need to understand leadership more so than what they think they've gotten from society. So I hope that this will help touch everyone out there. And Doug, I can't say thank you enough for spending time with us here this morning. I hope I get the honor of meeting you face-to-face here in Houston. And if there's anything that we can do here at Tough Talk Christian Radio to help promote what you're doing, please let us know that. I'd just love to be a part of it.
Thank you, Tony. It was a great pleasure to being with you, and I look forward to catching up and having lunch or coffee or something with you and just reasoning together about the things of God and for the future of our nation.
Well, I thank you, Doug, and I will be connecting with Allison to see about getting on your calendar. I know you're a busy guy. So have a blessed week, and once again, I can't thank you enough for spending time with us today and doing what you do to help others in our country. I'm just solely so blessed to be able to have this opportunity.
God bless you, sir.
All right. Folks, I don't know if I can round up all the excitement, all the things I've written down, some different little quotes from Jimenez and from Doug. All I can tell you is you really need to go to somebodycares.org. You need to get the book Leadership Awakening. Also, don't forget about an incredible opportunity to read Jimenez's book, An Ordinary Man with an Extraordinary God. Okay, and be on the lookout for his Extraordinary Man's Conference. It's going to take place in 2017. And please make a donation to somebodycares.org. My name is Tony Gambone. I'm here every Sunday from 7:30 to 8:30 Central Standard Time. And I just can't thank everyone enough for tuning in. And I'm so blessed that God has given me this opportunity and this platform to allow you to meet the people that are doing great things in our country. I hope to see everyone next week here on Tough Talk Christian Radio. Have a blessed week.
You have been listening to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com for more information.